Hey, 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 guys. Welcome to Building This Community.
This is your city business and policy development podcast. We're your hosts,
Luke Patrick
and Andrew Klump. Welcome to this week's episode of Building This Community. Our guest today is Craig Greenberg, who is a mayoral candidate for the city of Louisville, who has also graduated from Harvard Law School, served as CEO of 21C Hotels, and has also been a member of the Board of Trustees of U of L. Craig, how are you?
I'm doing great, Andrew and Luke. It's so nice to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for hopping on with us. You know, I just kind of went through your impressive litany of resume items there, but can you just tell us, a little bit about your background?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Let me start with my grandparents. I have two really amazing, unique set of grandparents that I think have both influenced my life a lot. So maybe I'll just start there. One of my sets of grandparents, my father's father, he was a firefighter in New York City at FDNY. And I grew up knowing my grandfather very well and really admiring his work in public service. And that, to this day, has really had an impact on my life. Hearing his stories of heroism as a New York City firefighter. My mom's parents, on the other hand, had a very different story. They came to the United States when they fled Nazi Germany in the face of the Nazi regime and just before the Holocaust started. And getting to know my mom's parents, my grandparents on my mom's side, that also had a very significant impact on my life, and hearing their story about escaping hate and what hate and oppression and discrimination can do. And as I grew up as a Jewish child, those stories of them escaping Germany really stuck with me and still do to this day, and be happy to talk about how it does more later on. My parents started their careers as school teachers, and then I moved to Louisville when I was a very small child. Second grade was my first grade here in Louisville. I went to Jefferson County Public Schools. I'm a proud graduate of Jefferson County Public Schools. Married my wife, Rachel, who started her career here in Louisville as a Jefferson County Public School teacher. So you'll see there's a big theme of education in my life that remains incredibly important to my wife, myself, my entire family. We're the proud parents of two boys. I have a freshman in college and a junior in high school that are the joys of my life. So that's a little bit about my personal life. And, I'm all of that, I think, has shaped me and has influenced my desire and decision to run for mayor of Louisville.
Well, that's what we wanted to talk about. That's a super impressive resume and background, really interesting. But was there anything else? Was there any particular issue or incident in recent history that drove you to making this mayoral run?
Well, so it did start with, harkening back a little what I just talked about. There was, as I mentioned, I'm Jewish. And one concept that I remember growing up and learning a lot about from my parents, that was important to both my wife and I as well, is a concept called Tikkun Olam, which that's Hebrew, but it translates into repair the world. And I was thinking about over the past couple of years, as I was thinking about what I wanted my next chapter in life to be, that concept of Tikkun Olam or repair the world kept coming back to me. Because really, even before COVID, even before Breonna Taylor's killing, I thought that our city was in need of repair. I thought we had gotten a little too complacent with everything as a city, and that other cities were passing us by. I love Louisville. It's been a great city to my family. It's been a great city to me. I think it has the potential to be a great city for everyone, but I didn't see that trajectory for the city. And so it was not one particular issue, but it was a desire to really give back to my city, to use the experiences, the unique experiences that I've had throughout my professional and personal careers to assemble a team of people who I think, like me, are energized, love Louisville, have this sense of urgency about what we need to do to make Louisville a safer city, a more vibrant city, really the best version of ourselves. I know people talk about all the time, oh, we're not Atlanta, we're not Nashville. I don't think Louisville should aspire to be any of those cities. Louisville should be the best version of itself, a city that's safe, that is a great place to live for everyone, that provides a great education to everyone, that's inclusive, that's vibrant, that's growing. That's the type of Louisville that I want to build with a team of people, not just in the administration, but across the entire city. And so the entrepreneur in me said, let's go for it. And so that all collectively is what motivated me to run for mayor of Louisville this year.
Well, that's pretty inspirational, but I think I want to hit on one point you made there, you know, trying to make Louisville the best version of itself. Obviously, there's a huge spectrum there, whether it's the socioeconomic, the equality, the justice, but then there's also the pure economic versions of it. So I just kind of want to start there and kind of branch off into different areas. What do you think that the mayor, or even working in conjunction with the Metro Council, can do to help us compete with the peer cities, just as simply as far as business development or attracting and retaining talent?
Sure. I think that's critically important when you are focused on the, you know, economic aspects of this. And I would start by focusing on working with our existing businesses here in Louisville, whether it's big businesses like Ford, GE, Brown-Forman, Kindred, whether it's startup entrepreneurs, whether it's privately held business. Our government and our economic development organizations should be proactively reaching out to our existing businesses and business leaders and asking them, what can we do to help you? What do you need to create more good paying career path jobs in Louisville? What do you need to do to create wealth in Louisville that you'll reinvest in our community and help our businesses here? I think that is our best and fastest engine for growth is starting to support and help our existing businesses here. I also think we should focus on our strengths. So there, we have some really unique competitive advantages here in Louisville. We have some industries that are very unique to Louisville, the bourbon industry, the logistics industry, the healthcare industry, particularly in some areas around aging. Those are areas of strength. And we should be sure that anyone who's in any one of those industries wants to be located in Louisville, because that's going to be the best place for success. And so we need to get that word out and recruit businesses here along those lines. And then also in the post-pandemic world, there are so many people that can live wherever they choose and work somewhere else. And Louisville should be a magnet for those people. It should be a place where people want to live because we have a great quality of life, because we have a great education system, because we have a vibrant downtown, because we're seen and in reality are an inclusive city for everyone. Now, we might not be at all of those places yet, but as mayor working with people from out throughout the entire city, that's my goal, is to make Louisville a place that people want to live regardless of where they work as well. So those are sort of the three areas of focus that I would be focusing on so that Louisville, the population grows, that we continue to thrive. And then long-term, we need to focus on education. Education is the key determinant of our future success. And so we can talk more about it later, but as mayor, I want to be an advocate for improved education across our entire city. I want to be an advocate for universal pre-K. I want to be an advocate and help support workforce training. And I'd love to talk about more, a little bit more about that as well later.
So I think to staying on the business side of this, are you saying that you think that the education is a major component or a major player in developing more businesses, developing more small businesses? And do you think that there are anything else that we can develop? So like, for example, like Luke and I always kind of bring up the idea of just having public amenities as a way to lure, you know, employees to come to the city, you know, just having something like the new botanical garden as an additional amenity to lure top talent to come to Louisville to work for some of our growing businesses. What do you think are the main things that Louisville is missing at this point as far as attracting more talent?
Yeah, sure. I do think education is key. And so I do think that people who are deciding to move to a city are looking at that. I also think that we do have some great amenities, in particular our parks. We have an amazing park system. Now, some parks are better kept than others. And I think the city government should be working so that every city park aspires to be the same level of quality as, say, the Parklands or Waterfront Park, which are public parks, but are not controlled and managed by the city. That should be our aspirational level for every park. from Cherokee Park to Chickasaw Park to Shawnee Park to Iroquois Park to all the pocket parks in between. I do think parks can play a role in that. And then I do think that the other amenities you mentioned, pro sports, I do think that is helpful. We have a great college sports world here, and so that's great. And I think, though, we have a wonderful soccer team. Maybe we can get more women's pro sports teams. That would be a great area for us. Women's sports is booming right now. Everyone is focused on that. And so I do think that would help. So I think that collectively, those quality of life issues are important, but we also need to create the jobs and we need to focus on the education at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually the comment on pocket parks to me is such an easy way to help green Louisville with vacant properties. Or, you know, we had a recent episode with the University of Louisville, how they're researching the impact of green space on health long-term and health outcomes. So it is interesting that you mentioned the idea of creating pocket parks.
Yeah, I think my initial platform, one of the things I mentioned was that I think every public park should have free Wi-Fi access. Let's just make those neighborhood gathering places and hubs. And let's do everything we can to improve our parks, but also to improve our neighborhoods. That's one other thing that I think goes right in there. And you're talking about green spaces. We should aspire that every neighborhood in Louisville is a walkable neighborhood where you can walk to get something to eat, to do your grocery shopping, to even go to work. Your job might not be there, but some people can. And those walkable neighborhoods, I think that's the future of our communities. And so I think we should really focus on that, and parks play a big role in that.
Well, another thing that stood out when we were prepping for this interview is we noted that you've supported urban revitalization efforts in the past, and we wanted to pick your brain about how you view the current trajectory of Louisville's downtown area, and what, if anything, would you do specifically to try and aid its development?
Yeah, unfortunately, the pandemic really impacted downtown hard. And so we were on a very positive trajectory in downtown Louisville. We had people coming from all across the country and world to experience bourbonism. We had people coming for conventions. We had people coming for businesses. Now it's basically left that of those three categories, mostly it's just the tourism right now that's back. And people are still coming again for bourbon. And so we need to focus on that. But I would think about this in short and long-term solutions. In the immediate term, we need downtown to be more energetic, to be more vibrant. And that takes people. So before we can get some of the long-term things, that, when I say long-term, I mean a year or two. I don't mean 10 years. But immediately, we need more people downtown so that people feel safe downtown. So people are excited to be downtown. As more events start coming back to the Yum Center, that's great. But I think we need to remove all the hurdles or barriers that people might have for thinking they can't come downtown now or don't want to come downtown now. If we need a free parking holiday in all city-owned garages for a short period of time, let's do it. Let's bring food trucks down on weekends with picnic tables just to give people a good excuse to come outside, to be safe, to enjoy company with other people from their community. And as more people come downtown, they'll spread the words to their friends and family who will continue to. Longer term, we really need a comprehensive, focused effort on revitalizing downtown, and not just to where it was before the pandemic. We should have aspirations far beyond the trajectory that we're even on before COVID hit us. We need to focus on housing. The reality is the commercial office space is changing right now. And we need to continue to have people working downtown and focus on bringing people downtown to work. But we've never had the downtown number of residents that we need to have. We should be looking for 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 new residents of downtown. And then one way I think we can do this is, if you look at the city government, it owns so much property right now. It's almost a little mini real estate holding company. It owns surface parking lots. It owns buildings that haven't been used in 10, 20, 30 years. We should create a map of not just in downtown Louisville, but across the city, of all of the city-owned property that isn't being used for its highest and best purpose right now, that isn't on the tax rolls, paying taxes? That isn't creating energy in our neighborhoods? And let's go out to the community and get feedback and ideas and proposals for how we revitalize these properties. And let's make them integral parts of our neighborhood to help revitalize neighborhoods, whether it's downtown or elsewhere. And I think you'll see things change. We have three full city surface parking lots on the east side of 9th Street that could become a wonderful neighborhood. Let's bring retail back to Louisville Gardens and have people living in, as we go vertical from Louisville Gardens. There's property along the river. And those are just three properties right in the core central business district. There are so many more opportunities for this in downtown Louisville and across the city. And I really want to bring those properties back in to be part of the solution of neighborhood revitalization.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point as far as, you know, the transition of downtowns, not just in Louisville, but everywhere else, right? In that, you know, I know there, I work downtown, there are major businesses all around me that still have not and probably won't be coming back for the foreseeable future as people are going to start working from home more and more. So I like your point of having more housing and things downtown as well. And the addition of, you know, surface parking lots that Metro government owns, to me, that there's no point in them owning those facilities whatsoever. Totally at this agree. Point. It's a complete waste of space for something where there could be new development going on above it. Not only would growing downtown, though, be a major benefit for Louisville, but it's not the only part of the city that needs attention. We've seen growth, you know, from the Central Business District towards Nulu, towards Butchertown with the stadium, towards the Highlands in that direction. We've seen a little bit of development in Whiskey Row. But what is your kind of plan for working on areas that are more underserved, maybe, you know, like the West Louisville or the South end of Louisville?
Sure. I think we as a community really need to focus on investing in the parts of the city that have been overlooked and ignored for my entire lifetime. And right now we have a once in a lifetime opportunity to do that. We have $388 million coming to us from the federal government under the American Rescue Plan. There'll be hundreds of millions of dollars more coming to us from the federal government with the infrastructure bill that was just passed. There are so many opportunities to invest in the infrastructure in the West End of Louisville, in parts of the South End of Louisville, that, as I mentioned, have really been overlooked for my entire lifetime. So areas like affordable housing, neighborhood improvement things, whether it's sidewalks, whether it's grocery stores in neighborhoods that don't have grocery stores, healthcare facilities. There is so much that can, should, and must be done. And right now, we have a really unique opportunity to do that. And so that's going to be a big focus of my time as mayor, is making those investments, is working with teams of people, working with residents in those communities. The needs are there. They've been very clear about what's needed. Anyone who goes there can clearly see it. So we don't need any more studies. The time for studies is over. We know what the challenges and problems are. We actually know what the solutions are as well. We have the capital to do it right now. And so it's time to get to work, assemble teams of local residents and others that can make these projects happen and invest in the needed infrastructure in those communities. One of the areas I'm most excited about is affordable housing. We have we're 30,000 units short of affordable housing units across the entire city. On the first day I announced I was running for mayor, I made a commitment to get 15,000 units under construction or built in my first term. And I really think that there's the real pathway to do that. Working with the nonprofit community, working with the private sector, working with the federal and state programs that there is a huge opportunity to provide more affordable housing across this entire city. And I think that my set of skills from my background and my experiences that I have can help me put the right teams of people together to make that happen.
Well, that's a super admirable goal. And it gets at something that we hear as kind of a persistent criticism when we talk about serving the traditionally underserved areas of our city. And that's gentrification. When you talk about growth, there always needs to be this balancing act of trying to address inequality while also accounting for gentrification and potential negative outcomes. So what, how do you try and strike a balance there, or what's your thoughts on the matter?
I think that's critically important. And I've been listening and meeting with people for a very long period of time, even before I announced that I was running for mayor. And right now I'm literally running across the city. There are 623 precincts in Louisville, and I'm literally running through all 623. And I've met a lot of people as I'm doing that. And one of the things that I've heard repetitively is the importance of preventing displacement, preventing gentrification. And I think there are many ways to do that. One, where we have to start is that when there is new development in neighborhoods, particularly lower income neighborhoods where people are living on fixed incomes often, where they're at risk of being displaced, is we need to involve them in the solutions. They know their neighborhood better than anyone else. They have great ideas for what that neighborhood needs and what the unique issues to that neighborhood or the traffic patterns or the needs of that community are. And so involving the neighbors is a critical first step. I also think that we need to focus on out-of-town landlords. Right now, there are places in our city where out-of-town landlords have housing developments that are in deplorable conditions, where they're charging way too much rent for people for the conditions that they're living in. And there's an opportunity for us as a community to either convert those into better places to live, or we can work with the residents there and ideally get them into home ownership. Because right now we're at a unique moment in time where there are many people that could actually own a home and have a mortgage payment that's less than their rental payment. And so that's an area of focus where I think the city can work with nonprofit agencies and builders around the entire city to help make that happen. There's been a lot of focus on the West End Opportunity Partnership, or the West End TIF. I think that has the opportunity to be transformative for West Louisville and its residents, as hundreds of millions of new dollars to be invested in West Louisville to achieve the goals that we were talking about earlier. To avoid displacement of residents, again, needs to focus on working with the neighbors. There's a homeowner's tax refund in that bill that if you currently own a home in West Louisville, your property taxes will not be raised for 20 years. That's a great start. That helps protect homeowners. But there are also a lot of renters there as well. And so I think there need to be some changes to that law to protect renters and to support the neighborhoods and the neighbors that currently live there.
Well, I want to move on to some other subjects. Yeah, I feel like you just mentioned working with the stakeholders in the community and kind of on that subject. I want to talk about the strained relationship that many Louisville residents currently have with their police department. It should come as no surprise. Over the last couple of years, it feels like relations have deteriorated. I want to know what you as mayor would do to try and rebuild the trust that citizens have in the LMPD.
And thanks for talking about that, because I think that public safety is the number one issue facing our city today. We have a violent crime crisis in our city. We have way too much crime across the entire city. And this needs to be the primary focus, the first focus of not just the new mayor, but all of city government. And I do think it starts with the police. I think it takes more than police, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but I think it does start with the police. And so I think the police need to feel supported. We need to support the police. I think the way to achieve that is to focus on transparency and training. You know, I was, as you mentioned earlier at the top of the show, I was on the University of Louisville Board of Trustees. When I was on the U of L board, I was one of the individuals who led the effort for reform at the university, where we found some financial irregularities that were going on, excessive compensation, other challenges that we were sounding the alarm on. And we were pushing for transparency at U of L. And what that experience taught me is that transparent organizations are stronger organizations. And so I think working with the officers, working with LMPD leadership, we should make LMPD the most transparent police force in the entire country, and that will help build trust. At the same time, we need to support our officers with the training that they need to be the best trained police force that focuses on community policing, where the officers are encouraged and supported to be involved in the neighborhoods that they serve, to work with local members of the clergy, neighborhood leaders, formerly incarcerated individuals, to really focus on preventing crime as opposed to just responding to crime. And I think that with that approach to policing, encouraging transparency, that that will then build trust, which is absolutely critical, is that so that the residents of Louisville trust the LMPD, and that the LMPD, you know, is serving the city in the way that we all want and expect it to. We also need more police, and I think that will help as well. Right now, a full LMPD is slated at about 1,200 officers. We're about 300 people short right now, 25% short. And so that puts an incredible strain on our officers that we're asking them to do more with less at the moment. And that is a tough environment for them. And so we need to recruit and train and retain more police officers to get back to that full force that's well-trained, that's transparent, that's focused on community policing. And I think that will help rebuild the trust going both ways between the police and our community.
We definitely, you know, understand where you're coming from with that. And I think there, it's such a complex issue that it's hard to narrow down, particularly what, you know, would solve that, just the trust by itself, right? Just because of kind of the shock and awe of the Breonna Taylor situation. It's a very, very sensitive issue. Another major issue, though, that is come up and talked, you know, been a center of inequality has been houselessness. And you've kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier in our meeting, but what is your plan to, you know, address houselessness in our city?
This is another critical issue that has to be dealt with. And as I mentioned earlier, I think there's a once in a lifetime opportunity to do this now with some of these federal funds that are being invested. We can't solve every problem with the American Rescue Plan funding, but we should choose some of our biggest problems that we can solve and use these funds, leverage them with other sources of capital to make meaningful improvement. And this is one of those areas to address our homeless crisis that we have in our community. I met with 18 home people that work in this world that are home advocates for homeless people, that work for organizations that support our homeless community. Salvation Army, small nonprofits many people have never heard of, St. John's and others. And I see they all have the same general approach, is that the way to help and support those in our community who are currently homeless and to provide them with an opportunity for a new path in life is with a place, a year-round place where they can call home. We need more housing units to support those who are currently homeless. But it's not just the unit of housing that they need, it's the support services. So many of those in our community who are homeless are struggling with a mental health issue or an addiction issue. And so they need the support services to address those ailments that are in their life as well. We have many great nonprofit organizations in our community that provide those services. And so what we need is we need several buildings across the city that can house 50 or 60 homeless people at a time, combined with those support services to focus on addiction treatment, to focus on treating mental health issues. And those services are actually paid for by the federal government under Medicaid. So that's not city money. We can use some of the city American Rescue Plan funds to build these housing buildings, and then working with the nonprofit organizations to provide those services to help give our homeless people a new opportunity and a new path on life. And as we do that, I think it's also fair of our city to say there are certain places in our city where you cannot pitch a tent and live. And under the overpasses of our Central Business District is one of those areas. And we can't force people into these new programs and new places to live as transitional housing to then get out on their own. But we can say there are certain places where you can't live. And I think that's a very humane way to deal with it for those who are currently struggling with being homeless. And it's also, I think, important for the rest of our community as well to provide the safety and the opportunities that they have to go about their daily life in places of our city, like the Central Business District in downtown.
Do you think that adding enough affordable housing will help alleviate the chronic homelessness, or are there other paths forward as far as, and do you think that the city, I guess, should be the one solely responsible for developing enough affordable housing, or do you have a plan to work with private developers to get affordable housing done?
All of the above. I think more affordable housing units will definitely help address the homelessness crisis that we have here in Louisville. The city can't and shouldn't do it alone. We need to work with the nonprofit organizations in the community. We need to work with the development community. Many people don't know this, but the largest developer of affordable housing, of high quality affordable housing units in the entire country, is based in Louisville. So there are many organizations and companies in Louisville that are very skilled at doing this. And they're not using all city money, and they're not asking the city for grants in many cases. There are many other sources of capital from the federal government, from the state government, from traditional banks to build these. It just needs to be a priority of the city where, working with the nonprofit and development community, there's a comprehensive plan to leverage capital and build 15,000 new units of affordable housing in my first term. And that's a very doable goal.
Well, we've talked about homelessness in the past, and I think your idea of trying to kind of centralize the provision of resources for that community is something that's pretty promising. But shifting again to another topic that we've talked about regularly, and that's the idea that we really don't need to reinvent the wheel, that there are, you know, cities all across America implementing new or novel strategies to try and address the issues that face them. And we were curious if there were any specific policies that you've seen other towns or cities implement that you want to apply here in Louisville.
Well, let me start with what we were just talking about, addressing the homeless crisis. In Austin, Texas, there is a great development using small homes and other resources where there's been a new neighborhood to build what I just described, where homeless people have an opportunity to transition back into more permanent housing, and they're surrounded by other support services and the other needed infrastructure to support a community. There's plenty of property here in Louisville to emulate that type of small house development as a transitional neighborhood for our homeless population. So that's one. Another area that I've really been focused on is there have been great successes in Denver, Colorado, and Eugene, Oregon, and other cities that focus on providing first responders that are not police when someone calls 911 with a situation that is not a criminal activity, where there's not the risk of violence, where it's not a dangerous situation, at least for others. And they've had really great response working with social workers and mental health providers and universities to provide the right trained professionals to respond to nonviolent 911 calls. There are many 911 calls, for example, where people are contemplating suicide. Well, there are many trained professionals in our community that can respond to that call maybe better than a police officer can. And so they've had great success with that. They've cut down on the number of interactions that aren't necessary for police. Let police focus on preventing crime when there's an opportunity for another professional to deal with a different type of crisis in our community. And so there's a pilot program right now that's been announced by the city. I think it needs to be better funded. I think it needs to be rolled out in a broader scope than just a small part of the community. It's a partnership between U of L, seven counties, and the city, working with great mental health and social workers and mental health professionals and social workers. And that's a program I'd really like to emulate from those other cities here in Louisville.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly glad to hear that that's where the conversation's at. I couldn't agree more. I'd love to see that type of program get implemented here. But we wanted to take a second to kind of hit you with a hypothetical. If we could imagine that you win your election and then we zoom out far into the future, what would you hope that your mayoral legacy to be?
That's a great question. I hope we're thinking about that many years from now. First and foremost, I hope that people see that together with others, my administration made the city a safer city. That's has to be the first focus right now, is ensuring that we drastically reduce the number of murders in our community, that we make that we end this violent crime epidemic that we have, that people, regardless of where you live, feel safe in their homes, safe in their neighborhoods, and that they are safe. And so I would like Louisville to be seen as a very safe city. Also, we've talked a lot about affordable housing. I'd like to look back and say that there were 15,000 new affordable housing units built during my first term, and that we were well on our way to eliminating the affordable housing gap that we have in our city, and that the city was brought together. I would like to be seen as a someone who can unify this community, a unifier, a builder, and an educator, someone who brought the city together, who got a lot of new projects built, not just in downtown, but in, as we mentioned earlier, in those parts of the community that have been overlooked for generations, that those neighborhoods were revitalizing as well, that those were safe, that those were becoming places people really were looking to live, and that our educational system was improving across the board. Those are some of the things that I hope people will look back on my term as mayor and be proud of what we together accomplished.
Yeah, I think that's very admirable. We're wrapping up here, and we typically have two final questions, but sorry. But I'd be remiss, and I think some of my friends over at MBA to Louisville would get on me if I didn't ask you, do you support an MBA team coming to Louisville?
I would love it if a NBA team were in Louisville. But again, I think we need to focus on the real opportunities in front of us. And if there's an opportunity to bring a WNBA team here first, I think that would be amazing. If there's an opportunity to get Lou City into MLS, that would be amazing. Let's support our new women's soccer team in the NWSL. There's a lot of great stuff here right now that we can support. But yeah, I would be definitely be a supporter of NBA.
Yeah, I actually really love that answer, because I think we should honestly focus on getting the ancillary pro sports first and building up our portfolio with what we have available. So actually I do really like that answer.
Okay, good.
Do you have any other like projects or anything you want to promote? Obviously you're running for mayor, but is there anything you want to promote?
One thing that we haven't talked about that I really would like to accomplish also during a term as mayor is universal pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds. And if you look at what determines the success of children, one of the most important things is when they start their education, the quality of the education that they get. And so I think there is an opportunity right now to be a model for this country to have universal pre-K for all 3 and 4 year olds. Well, how are we going to do that? This is admittedly an expensive endeavor to make that happen. I think that right now, when Louisville is on the map for some of the wrong reasons, we have a unique opportunity to go out to the largest foundations across the country. In Louisville, we have great foundations with hundreds of millions of dollars of assets that are very, very philanthropic. Around the country, there are foundations with hundreds of billions of dollars of assets that are looking to invest in cities like Louisville. And so let's reach out to them with a 10, 20 year plan for universal pre-K for all 3 and 4 year olds in Louisville, to invest in the resources and infrastructure and teachers that we need to make that happen, and ask those national foundations to partner with us locally and our local foundations to fund that and make that happen. And let's put Louisville on the map for a right reason. Let's put Louisville on the map for starting our education of all of our kids at ages 3 and 4. And I think that's one thing that I'd really like to work with the community on to achieve very shortly after getting elected mayor.
Yeah, well, that's a really impressive a goal or aspiration, if you will. I think that that's would be phenomenal if implemented. And honestly, you might have just answered it right there. But wrapping up, we do ask all of our guests the same final question. If you had the power to change one policy in Louisville, just kind of snap your fingers and make it happen, what would it be?
One thing that we can get done much quicker, I'll tell you that. We need to get our abandoned cars off the street. I don't know about you, but driving around the city, walking around neighborhoods, west to east, north to south, central, everywhere I go in Louisville, highways, neighborhood streets, any type of roadway, there are way too many abandoned cars that seem to be there for weeks and months on end. We as a city can do better. We must do better. We have to do the little things right so that we can solve all of these big problems that we've been talking about for our entire conversation. Neighborhoods need to be safe. Abandoned, wrecked cars on the side of the road. Start that process of making neighborhoods not feel safe, not be places that people want to be outside and where people want to enjoy. And so we have to get these abandoned cars off the road. There is no excuse. If cars can be towed for not paying a parking meter, surely we can tow cars that have been wrecked and abandoned on the side of the road for weeks or months on end. As mayor, I will have a program so that very quickly, when abandoned cars are reported, they are picked up, brought to the lot, and cleaned off the street.
Yeah, I like that answer, especially considering the fact that, you know, they block the sidewalks half the time. So it really exactly the walkability of our city.
Exactly.
Well, Craig, we really do appreciate you taking the time to hop on here with us. This has been a great interview, and we look forward to seeing how the campaign progresses.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Andrew and Luke, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure to be with you. I look forward to continuing the conversation and seeing you around town. Thanks a lot.
We'll pick back up with our reaction segment after a word from our sponsor.
Well, Luke, that was another interesting episode. Hopefully one of multiple in a potential mayoral series that we're trying to put together here. Just right off the bat, I think Craig Greenberg was great. And he kind of hit a common topic that we always talk about, which is like the development of private businesses and things in this city. What'd you kind of take away from the interview?
Well, I thought it was interesting that he brought up working with the legacy, like large name job creators in our area, like your Fords and Humanas, but also brought startups into the conversation. And I think he talked about maybe working in cooperation with them to revitalize our downtown areas. And if it ends up looking anything like what 3CDC is doing in Cincinnati, where they've taken an area formerly kind of a rundown over the rind area. If you can work with private investors to revitalize Louisville's downtown area in a similar way that 3CDC has done the over the rind area in Cincinnati, I think you'd have a very attractive, very appealing industry rich core to try and drive new talent into the city. And I don't know. I thought it was an interesting concept and something I'd like to see.
Yeah, and I don't know the extent of any gentrification or anything that happened in Cincinnati, or there's enough vacant parking lots and things, especially, you know, that he mentioned that, you know, Louisville is just kind of sitting on. And so maybe those could be used to create some equity as there's also some further development going on downtown. I think downtown is on the cusp right now as it is anyways. But any type of additional influence or programming to pull more startups or pull more like legacy businesses downtown, I think would be great. And I think there's going to become more and more housing downtown too, just because, you know, with the change in the evolution, we've talked about this, right? The change in the evolution of working from home, I think they're going to probably have more housing and more other things rather than just traditional office spaces downtown. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But he did mention using a lot of the owned properties by the city. And
to me, he's kind of talking about pocket parts or using it for other developments. And I thought that was, I like that about his platform more than maybe just about anything that he has, because I think it's such an underutilized factor of the city of Louisville. We have over 600 vacancies in the city. So I do think that's a really good spot for him to hit on. And I know he even talked about, you know, to that extent too, having free Wi-Fi in all the public parks. So I don't know what you think about that, Luke.
No, I thought it was great. I thought he also talked about working in conjunction with the community to try and drive the decision-making on how to best utilize all of this city-owned land. And mm-hmm. I think we've maybe talked about city-owned properties once or twice on the podcast. It's something that more people need to be aware of. And I think if they were, that they would be more vocal about like how they want this land best utilized to try and, I don't know, better our community. We can incorporate the pocket parks we've talked about, and that in conjunction with the free Wi-Fi proposal, it's a way of spreading access and accessibility across the city.
Well, and that's the thing too. It's interesting because I believe Mayor Fisher talked about adding free Wi-Fi to the West End. I'm not really sure that actually ever happened. But with that said, if you have these locations of pocket parks throughout the city, or just vacant properties that you could put, you know, a Wi-Fi connection on, that could help create districts with free Wi-Fi. And we talked about this. We mentioned, I think, in the interview when we had our episode with Dr. Ted Smith, like increasing green spaces could be beneficial for health, if nothing else. So there's a lot of opportunity to use those spaces. And I'm glad that that's going to be a focus, at least of his campaign.
Yeah. Another proposal that he mentioned that I thought was pretty interesting, and I think we discussed, we're not exactly certain about the workability of this, but his universal pre-K proposal, if that's yeah. something that he was able to accomplish, I think obviously would yield tremendous benefits for the city, for everybody living here. But it seems like a tough task to accomplish in, you know, from a mayoral perspective. I don't know.
Yeah.
What was your thought?
Yeah. And so, you know, just doing a quick Google search, you know, I think every Democratic candidate is in favor of universal pre-K, or Democratic candidate for mayor, that is. And I do wonder, you know, if you create like an education board or something through Metro Louisville, how much of that does that undermine what's going on with JCPS, or does that supplement? Like, it seems like it would be a difficult thing to do. I think it's the right direction to move to try and get universal pre-K. I just am kind of curious with the way things are currently set up, if the mayor and or council could actually be effective in doing such a program when we have such a strong, you know, education board through JCPS as it is. So I'm kind of curious how that would work. So that's I have a little hesitancy there just with the actual implementation, although from an actual objective standard, I think it's a great idea.
Just worry about implementation. No question. I mean, I think the earlier you can get kids involved in school and get them started on that schedule, that routine behavior, I think it's a great thing. But moving on, I think he talked about, obviously, I think this is going to be a common theme among most mayoral candidates, rebuilding trust in policing across the city. And that's also coming in the wake of a recent vote to increase the pay for LMPD. Can you talk about that a little bit, Andrew?
Yeah. So I know literally just this past, you know, past couple of weeks, they had the approval of the 15% increase to LMPD's contract through 2023. And I saw where which candidates supported, which supported the approval and which ones didn't. It seemed like Bill Dourif, who is a Republican, and then Craig Greenberg, Philip Molestina, and David Nicholson all supported it. And then Timothy Finley and Shamika Parrish Wright did not support the increase. So to me, I think this is a difficult situation. Like, I understand, I think more pro-business or moderate Democrats wanting to try and increase that relationship with police. But at the same time, Craig, to his credit, mentioned, you know, what's going on. And I believe it was what, Seattle or Portland.
Eugene was one of them.
Eugene, Oregon. Yeah. That's where it was. And as far as having what I like to call a de-escalation task force, where you have a separate group going into where the de-escalation task force would be the first responders to, you know, nonviolent situations where they don't need force, or even being backup to more violent situations, to at least have a separate set of eyes on what's happening with police in a particular situation. So I think that is a great concept and a great idea, and something that Louisville should implement. I guess I just wonder how that works with finances, because the police department already takes up 60% of Louisville's budget.
Yeah, it's a huge budget draw in almost every community, if I'm not mistaken. But he also talked about a pilot program here in Louisville. I believe there's one maybe in development. He talked about expanding that. So we'll see. We'll have to see, you know, in the years to come what the results of that are. Of course, like government, they like to kind of study things before they dive right in. But back to his relationship building between the police force and the community. He referenced his time at the UofL board as a trustee and his push then for transparency. If that's the same attitude that he brings to his relationship building here, that's going to be really important, because transparency is, you know, the biggest first step.
Yeah. And that was that's the difference though, right? In the University of Louisville, you know, public state institution, you know, transparency is really easy. Versus with the police department, it should be, it's a public entity, it should be, but there's so many more state, you know, laws that, you know, could prohibit those things. You know, just like, for example, having to get the state approval in order to have subpoena power for a civilian review board. So there's more limitations from a state perspective in creating that transparency when it comes to LMPD than there is with the University of Louisville. So it's not quite a one-to-one parallel, but I, at least from an attitude perspective, I like it. It's an implementation thing that is a little bit concerning.
Yeah.
But yeah, with that said, if he can get the de-escalation task force, quote unquote, then I think that is a major step in the right direction. But then the last thing, you know, that he mentioned, which I feel like a lot of people that are, I think the biking community in particular kind of brings it up in Louisville, is getting abandoned cars off the road, like immediately.
It's
kind of an epidemic in Louisville at this point.
Yeah, Craig, if I'm not mistaken, is a big runner, so I'm sure he interacts with them all the time. But yeah, it's an issue that I would like to see fixed. I think it would just improve the look of our city in general. And I don't know, it's an interesting idea. You always get interesting ideas with that final question.
Yeah, it's my favorite question. I'm glad we always do it, because it always sparks interest. So, well, anyways, Luke, I think that was a great interview. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Hopefully we can get some more mayoral candidates on here and kind of have a series, and our listeners can see the difference between the candidates.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Andrew. Right.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
As always, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us on Building This Community. If you'd like any more information, you can follow us on Twitter at BuildingThisCom, or you can follow Andrew
at Andrew J. Klump. And you can also follow Luke
at LMP43. Definitely subscribe, and we look forward to talking to you guys next week.